Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. It is a privilege for me to be here today. And I believe that the Lord is going to minister to us this morning in a wonderful way. The Lord showed me this morning that there are a number of people here with a call of God on their lives. And they are not fulfilling that call that God's given them. Now, three of them, the Lord showed me, called you long ago. Not yesterday, I'm talking many years ago. But you allowed, you made these plea bargains with the Lord. Lord, we just want to sort this out, and once we've sorted this out, then, Lord, you know, my heart is for you. You've always been in church, but you not fulfilled the call that God placed on your life. And the Lord said to me this morning to tell you, He's waiting. He's waiting. You try to forget and you rationalize the call of God on your life, but God's got a purpose for you. And you seem successful, fulfilled on the outside to many, but on the inside, you are not. And you know why? Because you're not fulfilling the call of God on your life. So I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your circumstances will change, that you will step out in faith. Wherever you work today to earn an income, you have to do that by faith anyway. Because the economy can change in a moment's notice, and you're without that job, that security. In fact, it happened to some of you a few times already. Well, ministry is no different. You walk on water from day one. You have to trust the Lord. There's none of us sitting here today that's not trusting the Lord. So I want to pray for those men and women whom God called. And I pray that God will do something in your heart today to fulfill that call. Amen. Just stay where you are. Just stand. I want to pray for you. No, not everybody. I mean, you can all. My goodness. Okay. All right. My Father, I thank you for your high calling on these men and women. High calling, high. This is not a normal calling, this is a high calling. I see storerooms, warehouses filled with signs and wonders behind you. I see it. But you have to step into that to access. You have to access and step out by faith to be His servant, fulfilling the call of God on your life. So, Father, I pray for these men and women in Jesus' name, that today faith will rise in their hearts to become your servants, to fulfill your purpose on their lives. There is such apostolic anointing present here. So many of you have an apostolic anointing on you, yet today you are like a dry land. You are today like a barren land, today. But the anointing on your life is apostolic. And many have prophesied this into your life, yet you are barren today. The Lord says today, step out by faith. And the simple things that I ask you to do, go and do them, because on that pathway you will find tremendous grace and favor. And you will see the most inconspicuous, the most smallest thing turn into the biggest thing in your life. And so I pray in this moment by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you will activate this in the hearts and lives of these people. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I trust you for this. Activate your call, your anointing, your gifts, your purpose in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I trust you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Apostle Freddie, the Lord shows me five churches. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in the next 9 months, you're going to connect 5 people. Not thousands, not millions, not hundreds, 5. 5 divine encounters that you're going to help those people to plant the church. And this is what God wants you to do. Activate the call of God on their lives. This is the word. You're going to meet up with somebody, divine connection. And while you speak to them at a service station in a Circle K, is that a shop here? Yeah, right. Somewhere. And God will just put in, my call is upon this man, on this woman. And then you're going to just say that, and that will be the beginning. You're going to activate something that's been resident, latent in their lives for many years. You're going to do that. And then you're going to walk alongside them and see churches established, 5 of them. Amen? So you can mark this. You'll see this happen in and through his life. Amen. And that man that was leading the worship there with his wife, I guess your wife, I hope so. Oh, man. Are you a pastor? No. Okay. You know what? I don't know. What do you do? Okay, let's start just with work. You deliver food for work. Okay. You know what? God's hand is really on you for ministry. And if you not prepare yourself for ministry, then I think you should. All right? Really. For you and your wife. The hand of the Lord is on you. I see how the Lord birthed you and set you apart for this. And God wants to use the two of you for ministry. Please come here. I want to lay hands on you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your great anointing. As I lay my hands on this couple, I pray for the activation of your call and anointing on their lives. What you called them for before the foundation of the earth. Man, did the enemy try to wipe you out. But no more, no more. No more, no more, no more. Everything that came against you. Father, thank you. Thank you in this moment for your redemption. For your redeeming power. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you have worked in a ministry and done whatever, and it's just to sort of quiet the greater call of God in your life. But no more, no more. The Lord said, daughter, I have set you apart for my purpose. I have set you apart for my purpose. Father, I pray for this couple that you will set them apart today for your purpose. May they fulfill the purpose for which you anointed them. That very word that the apostle spoke today, fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear. And so let fear depart from your hearts today. Let fear depart from your minds today to step out by faith. Let faith rise in your hearts today. That the same God who brought you to this time will continue to carry you. In fact, he will unlock treasures over your life if you walk in obedience today. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this, Father. Amen. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, they need a lot of cheering because they're going to need it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to go to the word of the Lord. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to commence reading from verse 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says, as you come to him. You know, let me first say this. You know, we have developed this oddity in our lives. I don't know about you, but many people do. They read the Bible hop, skip, and jump. That means, yes, this applies to me. No, this is, doesn't apply to me. This is for me. Oh, no, that's only for the pastors. This is for pastors, 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 pastors. Oh, yes, yes. All things work together for those who are called, those who love God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Everything is going to be fine. My wife, don't worry. Everything is, we love God. God, for those who are called pastor, those who are, according to his purpose, pastor. And we cut out scriptures just so that it suits us. We insert and exclude ourselves in scriptures. Well, let me tell you, the whole scripture have been given to you and to me. Amen? There's not one Bible for pastors and another for members. It's not. We believers. Amen? So we need to take the word of God as him speaking to all of us, each and every one of us. We are included in this. All right. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. Verse 5, you also. Say to the person next to you, you also. You also. Amen. So it's now we are all included in this message this morning. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You also. All right? God's intention for you and me is that we are developed and built into a spiritual house to be a priesthood. Now, most people, believers, they jump out of the bus there because the priesthood, oh, that's really talking about pastors. I'm sure pastor is reading the scripture and he's holding on to the truth here. But the truth is, God actually intended every believer to embrace that scripture. In 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on a church door in Wittenberg in Germany. And it became the foundation for the Reformation. And that's why we have a Christian church nowadays. And one of those theses, one of the key points that he proposed at the time was that he believed that God didn't intend from the beginning that the priesthood belonged only to clergy, but that the priesthood was in fact intended for every believer. It's a key proponent of us as Protestant believers. I'm not this high and mighty, greatly. No, I'm a believer like you. The same father that's your father is my father. The same line that where the Holy Spirit was poured out and baptized, I stood in the same line as you did. It's not like the Lord separated us and said, you stand there. No, you stand there. Come here. You can stand in this line. No, same line. The same Holy Spirit that rests on you rests on me. Same. Not a different one. Not another one. The same Holy Spirit. Come iPad, you must just look at my face. Same Holy Spirit. He says, you are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen people. And that's where the most believers jump out. Yes, Lord, I'm a chosen people. Oh, hallelujah. A royal priesthood. Okay, that's for the pastor. A holy nation. That's also for the pastor. A people belonging to God. Yes, yes, Lord, I belong to you. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is God's purpose for us as believers. The priesthood of all believers. Now I want to move this morning. We serve in a priesthood in the order of Melchizedek, because of Christ. So that's a different priesthood. But I want for a few moments for us to spend our attention this morning on the consecration process of a priest. And would you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 8, and we will commence reading from verse 1. Leviticus chapter 8 from verse 1. The consecration process. Because if the Bible sees you and I as priests, then you and I need to understand what does it mean to consecrate ourselves as priests in the household of God. So as you come to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Each one of us. So what does that process look like for you and for me? Verse 1, Leviticus chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the assembly, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. In the first place, verse 6, Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. The first thing in your and my life, as we come to him, becoming priests of God, is we need to allow daily the washing of water, the washing of the word of God over our lives. I'm telling you, nothing purges you like the water. the water of the Word of God. You cannot sustainably be in the Word, a man and woman of the Word, and not allow its power, the power that changes, that reforms you, that transforms you, to change your life. But it's a commitment on your and my side. As we come to Him daily, you also be changed by the Word of God. The washing with clean water. Take time to allow the Holy Spirit and the water of the Word of God to wash you daily. In the second place, verse 7. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash around him, clothed him with rope, and put the ephod on him. He also tied the ephod to him by its skillfully woven waistband. So it was fastened on him. He placed the breastplate on him and put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate. Then he placed the turban on Aaron's head and set the gold plate, the sacred diadem, on the front of it as the Lord had commanded him. Every believer needs to be dressed daily. Dressed ready for action. Monday to Sunday. On Sunday mornings, as I grew up, man, you get dressed and ready for church. Amen? You want to go to God, you know, well-dressed. My late pastor, Dr. Cho, he got up 2:30 every morning. He took a shower, and then he dressed in a collar and a tie. Because he said, if you meet with a president of a nation, you don't go there just like you are. You go and meet him, you know, you dress up for the occasion. Well, he meets with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords every morning. So he dresses for that. That's Dr. Cho. So 3:30 in the mornings, he used to step out of his apartment to go and pray. And he would be dressed like I am, kind of, now. And that's how he would pray. After prayer, he takes off his tie, he takes off his jacket, then he's fine. But boy, when he goes to pray, he puts it all on. All right, that's now next level for me, right? But he had high regard, he had high regard for God. And as a way to show that, he dressed up for meeting with God. Amen. I think there's value in that. But for us as believers, you and I need to be spiritually dressed every day. How many times have you found yourself in a situation where you know, man, what I really need to do is pray for this person right here. But then, man, I should have prayed this morning. Man, I wish I spent time in the Word, then I would have had something to just give them. Man, these people need it right now. And, man, I'm out of my depth. I'm not dressed and ready for action right now. Well, this morning, we have another chance to reaffirm our commitment to be priests of God. As you come to Him, that pathway is a commitment to be dressed. Clothe yourself with the full armor of God every day. The robes of righteousness, that you walk worthily as an ambassador, as a woman and a man of God, clothed on righteousness, prepared and dressed and ready for action every day. In the third place, verse 10, then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin with its stand to consecrate them. You know, there is value in anointing the place where you pray. There is value in anointing the house of God. There's anointing in anointing your house. There is value in anointing the place where you pray every day of your life. There's value in it. Because you built a spiritual altar in that place. And I want to encourage this church to again take the oil like you possibly did in the early days and go to the corners of this property and anoint it. Say, Lord, we set this place apart. Lord, we come to this place and we anoint this pulpit. We anoint this altar, so to speak. Lord, that somehow when people come here, that their lives be changed by the power of God. That this is a place where salvation will take place, where people will truly be set free. That this will be a place where people will truly receive healing, deliverance. That they say, I don't know what it is, but I went there. My life was changed in that place. Amen? And that's part of being a priest. A priest prepares the place where they meet with God. And I want to encourage you there at home, there where you pray, that chair, that bed, wherever you pray, on the veranda or where that tree, wherever, go and anoint it this week. Go and anoint it. Say, Lord, I don't understand it. I mean, there's no thrills running up and down my spine, but I'm just doing this according to your word. I'm just anointing this place to be a place where I meet with you. That this will be a holy place, that this will be a devout place, that I won't allow any other interferences in this place, but that this place will be set apart to meet with you, that I can hear you clearly, that I can hear you soundly, that I can find direction from you in this place. Anoint the place of God again. Amen. You know, when the Lord showed this pattern to me many years ago, I had a small church. We had maybe 200 people in my church. And I started becoming a priest of God. And so I walked in our little building at the time, up and down, you know, all by myself, praying in the Spirit and anointing and touching the every row up and down and praying, God, I pray that when people come and sit here, that they will have an encounter with you, that their lives will be changed. Just walking up and down, praying the same prayer day in, day out. Then I invited my staff, my elders to come and pray with me in the morning. 7 o'clock we prayed. And every single morning, we just started praying. The next moment, that little church started growing. We grew to 500 people. Then we grew to 800 people. Then we grew to 1,500 people. Then we grew to 4,500 people. The power of God. And we didn't preach magnificent messages. I mean, you can tell. This is my second language, right? But God's presence changed people's lives. Amen. People were inspired. People took courage when they came into the house of God. People's hearts were enlarged by the presence of God. They had a faith to obey God, to go out and just be examples for others to follow. Amen. That's what it means to be a priest in the house of God. Amen. Let us become priests. Let's start here in this house to make a commitment. I have been called to be a priest of God. I commit to be that priest of God. Amen. This call is for every man and woman sitting in this place today. In the fourth place, he anointed Aaron with anointing oil. He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Man, I'm telling you, anointing oil changes people's lives. I remember in 1981, Reinhard Bonnker, late Reinhard Bonnker, he had a school of evangelism in South Africa. So I went there in the evenings and while I was at Bible college. And at the consecration service at the end of it, Man, he had these buckets. You know, like you wash your feet in kind of buckets when you do feet washing. Those kind of buckets filled with olive oil, anointing oil. And then Reinhard would do this. And man, when that oil comes on you, your whole clothes is messed. It's like, okay, I don't know if dry cleaners is going to clean this. Is it? But I'm telling you, something happens in your spirits that changes your life. And sometimes we have this, you know, at least we've got some anointing oil. We don't want to have too much on it, you know. And so just now it messes with our hair or with our perm or our mascara or something. But I tell you, the anointing oil of God changes people's life. The anointing breaks the yoke of sin over your life. The anointing empowers you. The anointing activates gifts of the Spirit in your life. We should apply the Word of God in our lives. And so in the consecration process of a priest, God told Moses, take anointing oil and pour it out over Aaron and his sons. Pour it out. It came all over the head. It dripped down on their robes. It covered them. Anointing oil. I remember Dr. Cho, going to see Dr. Cho once. And I came into his office and he had this little dish there, also with olive oil in, sweet smelling, fragrant oil, a real anointing oil. And I was eyeing this thing and I'm looking at my suit. I had a gray suit and I could see where this is going to go today. This is not going to look pretty. And he spoke to me a little bit, and he says, you know what? The anointing breaks the yoke of the enemy. I want to pray for you. So I went down on my knees, as I honor him greatly, and he put his hands, not one hand, two hands, into that oil, and he put it on my head. But I can tell you, something changed in my spirit. Something changed in my life. It was no longer about the effects on my clothes. It was what was transformed in my spirit. Amen. When last did you hold an anointing service? When last did you bring the people of God together and anoint them? When last did you bring your house together? And so tonight, as a believing family, we're going to anoint each other with anointing oil. We're going to put the anointing of God on our lives visibly by anointing one another. Anointing your house, anointing your lives. It changes you. Something changes in the atmosphere over your life when you start using anointing oil. It's dead quiet in this place. This is a Presbyterian church. No, I'm just joking. I love the Presbyterians. They are great people. Amen. Let's anoint ourselves again. The most powerful partner in my ministry is the Holy Spirit. The one who transforms people's lives week in and week out is the Holy Spirit. The one who strengthens me to deal with time zone changes every 3-4 days. Different time zone, different food, different cultures, different languages, the whole time. This year, 21 nations later. Glory. 21 nations. Glory. This year, we've seen thousands of churches planted. This year. Hallelujah. How? The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not because the way I comb my hair. No. It's not the clothes I wear. It's not. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke over people. It's the anointing that activates people, ordinary people, and makes them extraordinary. It's the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that baptized you is the same Holy Spirit that baptized me. I just want to remain full all the time. Amen? And I want to encourage you to remain full of the Holy Spirit. The anointing will do away with so much trouble in your life. You have no idea. If you start anointing yourself every day, you will see how demons will flee. Those tormenting demons that torment you all day in your mind, in your attitude, in your behavior, in your mannerisms, those demons will flee. They run a mile because of the anointing of God on your life. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing. In the first place, in the consecration of a priest, he presented and slaughtered a bull as a sin offering. Verse 14 says, he then presented the bull for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the bull and took some of the blood with his finger. He put it on all the horns of the altar to purify the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. So he consecrated it to make atonement for it. Moses also took all the fat around the inner parts, the covering of the liver and both kidneys and the fat, and burnt it on the altar. Verse 17, but the bull with its hide and its flesh and its offal, he burnt up outside the camp as the Lord commanded. The greatest task of a priest of God to serve at the altar is to make intercession between sinful man and a living God. We need to deal with sin, but it starts in your and my life. We need to deal with sin in our lives. If you are truly the person who is coming to Him daily to be like Jesus, that you are earnest in your walk with God, to come to Him daily, to be built up by Him, to be restored by Him, to be strengthened by Him, you too will deal with sin in your life. Sin blocks the power of God in your life. Sin blocks the favor of God in your life. Sin will hold you back. Sin will keep you in shackles in your life. Other people will say to you, and your spouse and your family will say, man, didn't you hear what they say? That you've got so much potential. But the potential is harnessed by the sin in your life. It's holding you back. It's blocking you. It's keeping your confidence down. As a priest of God today, deal with sin. So in the process of a priest, a consecration process, they had to deal with sin. They had to go before God, put their hands on the head of this bull, and transfer their sin. And this bull, innocent bull, had to give its life, shed its blood, so that you can be free of sin. Christ paid the price, a dear price for your and my salvation. He dealt with sin, but you've got to appropriate it in your life daily. You can't on the one hand say, oh, Jesus, and the next moment you a slave to sin. You continue with sinning. As a priest of God, I appeal to you today. I ask you, confess your sins. Deal with sin. Get it out of your life. As long as you hold on to sin and you try to hide it in your life, the longer you will have to wait to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Then there was two offerings with rams. The first one was presented as a burnt offering. And so the Bible says in verse 18, he then presented the ram for the burnt offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Then Moses slaughtered the ram and sprinkled the blood against the altar on all sides. He cut the ram into pieces and burnt the head, the pieces, and the fat. He washed the inner parts and the legs with water and burnt the whole ram on the altar. What this ram stands for is whole consecration unto the service of God. You need to give your all to Jesus. You cannot expect to be a priest of God and just give part of it to the Lord. You need to give your all unto the Lord. What is that song we sang? I surrender only on Sunday mornings. No, all, Monday, Tuesday, every part of our lives, our finances, our relationships, our jobs, our vacation, everything on the altar. My wife and I, we have grandparents. We have 6 beautiful grandchildren. Let me tell you, every grandparent will know, all you want to do every day is just be with your grandchildren. I mean, they're the best things since sliced bread. They are amazing. I love my grandchildren so much. But for the call of God, I see so many men and women around the world answering the call of God on their lives. Pastors saying, Doc, please come. Please come and equip our people. God is moving mightily in our midst. There are now 17 people. There are now 50 people who answer the call of God on their lives. They are ready to go and plant new churches. Come and equip them. So what do? Oh, actually, I'm playing with my grandchildren. Let's look at another date. We'll see. You know, in God's timing, it will happen. No! While it's still day, I'm working. Amen. Rushing off. God wants you to put all of your life on the altar. What God wants from priests is a burnt offering. All of it. All of it. We've given all that we have on the altar of God. The last ram is the lamb of consecration or ordination. Verse 22. He then presented the other ram, the ram for the ordination. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, on the big toes of their right feet. Then he sprinkled blood against the altars on all sides. In a sense, that is committing yourself to hear from God, to do for God, and to walk in the way of God. It's a covenant relationship with blood that I say, God, I want to hear your voice in my life. Not just the pastor. It's not one of those moves. This is a pastor scripture. No, this is for you, for me. I loved when I walked in here and I saw, listen. Man, whoever did that, kudos to you. This is amazing. I love that. Because God wants us to hear the voice of the Lord ourselves. The Bible says in John chapter 10, my sheep knows my voice and they listen. If you're a sheep, you hear the voice and you listen. The youngest baby here, infant, you can see they are lying there. The next moment they hear their mom or dad's voice, they just, yes. That's my mommy there. That's my daddy there. They recognize. They know. Man, from all these other voices, that's my mom and my dad's voice. We are children of the living God. We should know the voice of the Lord. We should be committed to doing what God called us to do. We should be committed to walking the path that God set before us to walk in. Let me tell you, when you grew and led a large church and the Lord speaks to you to go. Let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not like you jump up and down and, oh, thank you, Jesus, I know where I need to go now. No, I knew where I was going. We built a powerful church. But I know the best place to be is where God wants you to be. So we packed up. For 4 months, I flew to Australia, backwards and forwards. Started the first church. Discipled 6 leaders, worthy people, divine connections in Brisbane. After 1 year, I planted another church. So I pastored 2 churches, an hour and a half flight away apart from each other. And at the end of 2 years in Australia, in the first church, we had 350 people in attendance and 150 in the second church. 500 people in 2 years. Obedience. Being where God wants you to be. Was it hard? You have no idea. It was hard. I had teenage girls who had well-established relationships because they've been in a stable home all the time. And they went to a good school, the best school in South Africa for girls, private school. Cost me a fortune to have them there. I had a big business in South Africa. We made lots of money. But the best place to be is where God wants you to be. If I didn't go to Brisbane, I would not be standing here today. But because I went, God unlocked nations to me. Amen? God wants to unlock things over your life. You have promises. Man, you stood in lines in this same building, and prophets came and prophesied, and God spoke about things He's going to do in your family. God spoke about things in your life, how He wants to use you, but you've seen none of it in fulfillment. Why? You're not stepping up. Today is that day. Today is that day. Say, Lord, I'm serious when I say I come to you. Amen? Coming to Him means more than just coming to church. Coming to Him means more than just sitting in the pews. Coming to Him means more than that. It means that you and I say, yes, Lord, I'm so scared to do this, but I will don't do it. Then go to the apostle. Go to Pastor Jeremy. Say to them, I'm here. I don't know how it's going to look. I have no idea where to go. But I want to just say yes to the Lord. You're going to see your life change. And then finally, they had to bring a wave offering. And that wave offering was unleavened bread sprinkled with oil, anointing oil, and they burnt it as a fragrance before the Lord. You know, I travel around the world. You go to Buddhist nations, they have a little altar. Every day they burn incense in it. You go to a Muslim house, they've got an altar. They pray 5 times every day. You go to a Hindu house, they have a little altar, they pray, burn incense unto their dead idols. God is looking for worshipers who would worship Him in spirit and in truth every day. Take time to worship the Lord. Take time, set time aside to worship the Lord, to encounter Him. You see what priests did. They didn't build that tabernacle just for a showpiece. They built that tabernacle so that the priests would go there, present themselves before God to worship Him. They had a process of worshiping the Lord. It wasn't to bring petition. It wasn't to do anything but to worship Him. David appointed worshipers 24 hours a day to worship the Lord. God called you and me to be worshipers. We serve the living God. Take time to worship the Lord. First thing I do, wherever I travel in the world, in the morning when I wake up, my alarm goes off, and I have this song that plays. Then I switch on my worship music, because I set the atmosphere in my room to pray. I don't know what happened in that room the night before or after I leave, but that's a place where I pray. So tonight I've got to pray in this room. So I set an atmosphere there. I bring the presence of God in there. I start worshiping the Lord. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. What a faithful God have I. Faithful in all your ways. Faithful God have I. Amen. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace upon my life. I want to encourage you to take time every day to worship the Lord. And then in the final place, Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood, and then he sprinkled it on Aaron and his sons, and then on the altar again as a consummation of this process, marrying them to the work of the altar. We don't do this to check it out. We don't do this to, oh, this is a new flavor of our church. No, we do this because we're going to do this for eternity. Can you imagine what it is like in heaven before the throne this morning? I heard that song, Worthy is the Lamb, that we sang this morning in front of the throne. What do you think it's like before the throne this morning? People checking it out and just seeing, yeah, you know, now I can see this is a great place, you know, not quite nice, you know. No, I tell you what they do. They're on their knees, on their faces, worshiping. Lord, man, I'm so amazed. You are so awesome. Worshiping the Lord. For eternity, that's what we're going to do. Get used to it. Take time to worship the Lord. That is what God called us to do. He's looking for worshipers in this place. So I want to pray this morning. I want to pray and just show you before I pray something. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 22, just a little bit further. The result of having consecrated priests in a house is that the glory of the Lord will come. Many churches want the glory. They want the glory of the Lord. They want the fire of God in their midst. I also want that. But what I have witnessed in our churches around the world where I preach this message and our people are earnest through this process of discipleship to become priests of God, that the glory comes. The fire of God does burn. People become clean. Brothels close down. Bottle stores close down. God changes the atmosphere in cities, in towns completely because of the presence of God in that community. They don't hold placards or anything, but I'm telling you, there's a consecrated people in that place. And because of that, the presence of God comes. So verse 22, then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people. He gave them a blessing. He had already sacrificed an offering, the burnt offering and the ordination offering. So he stepped down from the altar. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they gave the people a blessing. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The Lord sent fire on the altar. It's in that time. You know, you've heard that said many times. The Lord doesn't send fire to an empty altar. It's once you and I have laid ourselves down, Lord, my all on the altar. Give my all. I commit it all. It's at that point that the glory of the Lord appears, that the power of God is released in your life and in my life. Why do we see so many miracles happen? It's because of this. It's because of this. Because there's some priests in the house. So I want to pray with you this morning. I want you to stand this morning, not now. I want you to consider, as I come to you this morning, me too, I want to become a priest. You called me to be a priest, I want to be that priest. I want to be that man of God. I want to be that woman of God that you want me to be. I want to be that person who intercedes on behalf of sinners out there. I want to be that man of God. That's what God called me to do. Amen? Each and every one of you standing, that's God's call on your life. That's God's purpose for our lives. That's why God is calling you today. Father, this morning, I pray, as we looked at this process that you commanded Moses, the strategy in how to consecrate priests, that process will fill our minds and our hearts this morning. Because you called us to be a holy priesthood. Not just for an hour or two on a Sunday morning to then be holy, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day of our lives, to be priests of God, to be men and women of God, to be men and women devoted to your cause, to be men and women who have laid down our lives to be your servants, to be your instruments, to be your handpieces, to be your mouthpieces, to be your hands and your feet in the world that we live. This morning I pray for the anointing of your Spirit to come down on people's lives. Touch them this morning by your Spirit. Touch them, Jesus. Touch them. Touch them right now. Touch them as they make a commitment to be married to the altar. As they commit themselves to be wholly devoted to you. As they commit themselves to be consecrated to you. As they commit themselves to deal with sin and strongholds and slavery in their lives. That, Lord, in this house today, priests will rise. Priests will rise. That this will be a holy convocation of men and women of God. That this will be a place because of their devotion to you, their commitment to you, their yieldedness to you, that the presence of God would saturate the atmosphere all around us. Men and women will start being affected at homes by the power of God. Their hearts will be turned towards you. They will come to this place of worship. And I see this coming right now in the name of Jesus in the next couple of weeks. The level of commitment of your hearts to God, you will see people, strangers, complete strangers, walk into this place. And you can preach on whatever, but the moment you make an altar call, those people will come sobbing, giving their lives to the Lord because of the presence of God. They will give this testimony that in their house, their lives is such a mess, and all they know is they need to come right with God. They've seen this place of worship, they've seen this church, and they decided this is where they need to come and be saved, be set free, have people pray for them. So Father, I pray today that today will become a centrifugal process from this place, where the power of God will start disseminating from this place in the spiritual atmosphere, and the atmosphere will change over this building, over this area, over this town, and people's lives will be changed and transformed by your mighty power. I pray for the households represented here today, that as they go back this evening and pray over their houses, take that oil, go to the doorposts of your house and just anoint it again. Go to your driveway, anoint the door, the gateposts. Go to the corner of your property and anoint it. Say, God, send your angels to form a hedge of protection over my property. May the presence of God reside here. May your presence be all over this property. That this will be holy ground. That this will be a place where angels will descend and ascend. That this will be a place where miracles will take place. That this will be a place where guidance will be received. Where direction will come from you by your mighty power today, Lord. I pray for this. I pray that the households, those men and women standing today, that their lives will be changed. Their marriages will be impacted. Their children will be impacted. Their finances will be impacted. Their health will be impacted by your mighty power. I trust you for this, Lord, that they too will experience the glory of the Lord descending over their houses, that they too will experience the fire of God upon their lives, in their lives, in their families, in every area that they go, that they will experience the miracle working power of God in full operation. I trust you for this, Lord. Break every yoke of sin. Break every yoke of slavery. Break every addiction in Jesus' name. May the shackles come off over their lives this morning. May the slavery, may the shame come off them in Jesus' name. I pray for the blood of Jesus to be sprinkled over every household today. Over every man and woman, as the Spirit of the Lord sets them apart for your great purpose. I trust you for this, Father, in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Make this declaration in your heart. I am going to be a priest of God. I am going to be a priest of God. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.